Our scripture reading comes from the book of Exodus. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female slave, ox, donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Time for the sermon. You know, Francis of Assisi famously said, preach the good news at all times, and when necessary, use words. We seek during this time to give you words of hope, even in the midst of a world where hope often seems hard to get, or where there is much evidence against it, where you are not always sure that the impossible was possible. But here in 2026, just since January, we have seen the Indiana Hoosiers become national football champions. And last night, the New York Knicks won the NBA Finals. Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. Sometimes I'm not sure my words of hope are even needed. But it looks like some of you came expecting a sermon this morning, so let's go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, remind us of your grace and mercy to us. Fill us with hope in hearing your word, and help us to rest with words of Sabbath. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is our third week of sermons on the idea of Sabbath. This morning, our scripture is the one you heard from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. And I'm going to suggest that the Ten Commandments say this about Sabbath, that if you seek a life grounded in God, and if you seek a world where people live together in peace and justice, the bridge between the two is Sabbath. Sabbath is essential. One common objection to Sabbath is that Sabbath is too much to ask. In the midst of a busy life with so many needs and demands, who could have time for Sabbath? Another objection to Sabbath is related to the first one, that in a world where there is so much struggle and so much suffering, so much need, people must be inspired to take action. And Sabbath doesn't seem to take action. In fact, Sabbath seems like doing nothing. And how could that possibly be okay? The reply I have for you is that Sabbath is not doing nothing. In fact, Sabbath is critical because Sabbath is and always has been a form of resistance. Sabbath is resistance. Resistance to a world in which so much is not as God expects for it to be. God knows full well that we live in a broken and troubled world. God knows that many of you are overwhelmed. And God knows that many of the ways of the world are not working. God knows that much of life is not life-giving for us, but is sucking the life out of us. Sabbath is a form of resistance to all of that. Sabbath is a way to build a better life and a better world. Sabbath is a demand for something better. And Sabbath is a way of making it happen together. The claim that Sabbath is resistance originates right in the pages of the Bible, in the Old Testament, our Hebrew scriptures. The very Ten Commandments that form the life of Israel together and that are today's scripture. But it is also found, this claim that Sabbath is resistance, it is found most richly in the storyline that surrounds those Ten Commandments. I'm going to tell you a story this morning, a story that many biblical scholars call the foundational story in all of the Bible. It's the story of the Exodus from Egypt. Pharaoh was king in Egypt, and Pharaoh is an anxious and greedy ruler. Joseph is a man who has a special gift for dream interpretation. Joseph comes into Pharaoh's life at a time when the anxious Pharaoh is troubled by a dream. Joseph helps Pharaoh to see that in his dream, that 7 years are coming during which there will be an abundant and plentiful harvest, and that those 7 years will be followed by 7 years of famine. One could do many things with this important information. Pharaoh, in his greed and anxiety, makes use, or you might say, abuse, of this information. Pharaoh spends 7 years storing up as much grain as he can, and then he spends 7 years of famine selling grain to starving people at ever-increasing prices until he takes all that they have and makes the Hebrew people his slaves, and everything belongs to Pharaoh. Pharaoh oppresses the people mightily, giving them no day of rest, demanding more and more work all the time, and promising them nothing. He is insecure, so they will be insecure. When the people complain, Pharaoh works them even harder and increases his cruelty, insisting that they make bricks without straw and putting their children to death in order to prevent them from becoming too numerous. A boy named Moses is born in the land of Egypt and somehow survives. As he comes of age, Moses sees the misery that Pharaoh's way of life has brought upon his people. Moses flees Egypt. And after some time in the wilderness and a powerful experience with God, Moses returns to Egypt and demands that the Pharaoh set his people free. After a long struggle, Pharaoh relents and the people are set free into the wilderness. They are to escape the life of Pharaoh and live a new life with God. The people are so accustomed to life with Pharaoh that a better life with God may be attractive, but it is very difficult to embrace. God sends the people food to eat in the desert every day, manna and quails from heaven, and water to drink even from a rock. But the people are too anxious to trust God's gifts. How is it that enough can come with no ceaseless demand for us to make bricks? And quickly forgetting the misery of Egypt, they start gathering and storing more of the manna than they need against God's request. And they plead with Moses, "Take us back to slavery in Egypt." It was misery, yes, but it's all we know. Moses convinces the people to stay. And God gives the people a law. The law is not a list of rules. The law is a new way of life to help them live together in peace and harmony, caring for one another. But the people doubt that God's way of life will work. And so they melt down their gold and they make a golden calf and worship it as an idol instead of God. They are so accustomed to life with Pharaoh that even though they hated it, they keep asking for that life instead of a better life with God. This story about Pharaoh and his way of life, full of anxiety and greed, this story is supposed to remind us of things in our own life that draw us away from a good life with God. This story is supposed to remind us of the dominant powers in our own life and time, the things that keep us trapped and limit our freedom. Pharaoh is like any one of us who fears that our savings and our possessions will never be enough. Never enough to keep up with the neighbors. Never enough to give us security. We must store up more. So we work more, never taking time to rest. Life under Pharaoh's regime in Egypt, it's like life with a boss who never stops asking for more. More hours, more stress, no rest. This story reminds us there must be a way of life with God. There must be a way of life with God that is better, that would lead to more joy, less stress, more grounding, more balance. But we keep on choosing Pharaoh instead. We keep shopping for things that we do not need, even though doing so will just force us to work more. We keep our eyes glued to our phones and we resist putting aside our news feeds and our social media, even though all of these things keep winding up our anxiety. We resist the need for Sabbath from all of these things. The Ten Commandments are the core of this story, and they speak to its most important truths. The first commandment reads this way: "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." Did you hear that? Have you ever noticed that part? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Do not forget what life was like there. I am inviting you to a better life. The second and the third commandments reinforce the first one, forbidding the worship of idols, reminding people of the sacredness of God's name. Commandments 5 through 10 reveal a way of life together in a human community of freedom, justice, and peace. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's ox, your neighbor's donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. These are ways of living together that promise a life of freedom and joy. In Pharaoh's world, life demanded only work and production, and Pharaoh offered nothing in return but misery and fear. No rest, no good life together, only make bricks and die. But in life with God, in the commandments, there is something different. I am the God who brought you out of life with Pharaoh. Ground your life in me. Live together in these ways that will lead to peace and justice among you. And the connection, the difference between the Pharaoh's demands for fealty and God's demand for a relationship, the connection, the bridge, is the fourth commandment, Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Rest. Take time to remember that your value does not come from what you produce, and neither will your joy. Only violence and oppression come from a world built around production and anxiety and violence and striving for more and more and more. No. A good life begins with Sabbath. It is Sabbath time with God during which we slow down enough to remember the story referenced in the first commandment. A story about choosing God's way of life and not life with Pharaoh. When we take Sabbath in our own lives, we are participating in an act of resistance to Pharaoh's world. A world that is too full of too much violence, too much accumulation, too much greed, too much anxiety. It is a world that claims over and over again that there will never be enough. In Sabbath, we are choosing instead to spend time reminding ourselves of God's freedom. Friends, let me be plain. We cannot fully separate ourselves from Pharaoh's world. It is all around us, and if we care for other people and for the world, we should not want to be separate from it. But we need to remember that every moment we spend in Pharaoh's world, we are being wound up into a frenzy of insecurity and greed. And Sabbath is what unwinds that narrative in our minds and our hearts and reminds us that the rest and peace of God's can be ours if we choose it. I will close this way. When a child comes in baptism, and when new members join our community, We make words of promise. Promises that Presbyterians have made for generations. Promises that may sound to you archaic, that may sound out of touch. Do you promise to resist evil and its power in the world? Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? These are not empty and meaningless promises. They are connected to this very practical reality I have been speaking about. All of us will serve something in life. Do you wish to live a life in service to Pharaoh, or do you wish to live a life of freedom with God? Hear our message, our promises are very simple. We are trying to choose life with God. Sabbath is resistance. If we long for a life that resists violence, that resists greed, that resists oppression, that resists anxiety, if we long for a life that gives us rest, if we wish to be part of a community that wants these things together and that wants these things for everyone, the bridge between the God we serve and a good life together is Sabbath. Amen.